I don't think that the question of greatness has gone away since Jesus' day. From Muhammad Ali's signature boast more than a generation ago about being the greatest, to the best known political slogan of the 21st century, Make America Great Again, to the movie that's just been recently released in the last year or two, The Greatest Showman, we still continue to discuss and we still continue to debate what constitutes greatness. And that question of greatness is at the heart of the gospel passage this Sunday. The scene has a familiar ring to it. Last week we heard Mark's account of Jesus' prediction of his passion at Caesarea Philippi. And after that, Peter rejected Jesus' mission. And so once again, Jesus tells his disciples that he will be betrayed, he will be killed, and raised on the third day. And as with the last time, from the last week's gospel reading, they again do not understand or believe what he's saying, even though this is the second time now that Jesus has told them. Now let me ask you, have you picked up that this is actually pretty common throughout the gospel themes? Have you picked up that the disciples frequently appear to be clueless, appear to be a little thick and a little dumb? In this instance, not only are they confused by Jesus' words about his impending death, they are also confused about greatness. Apparently, they are bickering while walking from one town to another. They're arguing with each other on the road. So much that Jesus couldn't ignore what was being said. And so he asks, "What were you arguing about on the way?" And they're silent, embarrassed to admit that they were arguing about which one of them was the greatest. Perhaps they were boasting about which one of them spent the most time with Jesus. Perhaps maybe one of them had seen the greatest miracle, and so they were saying that they were the greatest. Perhaps one of them performed a miracle and was saying that they are the greatest. We don't really know what was happening, but what we do know is that Jesus is not impressed by all this. And so he tells them, whoever wants to be first, that is the greatest, whoever wants to be first, whoever wants to be the greatest, that person must be last and be the servant of all. Even though this isn't as a sharp rebuke as the one Peter copped last week, nevertheless, it most likely hurt their feelings. It stung their emotions. Because this is definitely not what they had been taught. And so let's face it this afternoon, it's not what most of us have been taught either. Greatness, we assume, implies power. That's what the world teaches us. Greatness implies power. It implies accomplishment. It implies wealth and fame. And all the other things that allow you to do things such as influencing people so that things go your way. But that's not what Jesus says. To drive his point home, he scoops up a young child, a small toddler perhaps, and he scoops them up into his arms and he tells them this in verse 37, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And suddenly it seems like Jesus has gone from saying something a little odd, like the first, to be first, you must be last. But now he's saying something that sounds totally crazy. In the first century world, children were of no account. Of course, they were loved by their parents, but they had no rights. They had no influence. Children had no standing. They were utterly dependent. They were utterly vulnerable. They were utterly powerless. So how could caring for a child count as greatness? It's crazy. And Jesus isn't making practical sense when he says this. Or is he? Think about it for a moment. If Jesus is right, what if we imagine that greatness wasn't about power? If greatness wasn't about wealth and about fame, But instead, we measure greatness by how we share with others. We measure greatness about how we take care of others. We measure greatness by how we love each other and how much we serve others. What kind of world would we live in? Can you imagine if people were regularly trying to outdo each other in deeds of kindness and service? If there was a national competition to see who was willing to be last so that others could go first. Imagine if our politicians and our civic leaders did this. Imagine if there was a reality TV show that followed people around as they tried to help as many people as possible. What kind of world would we live in? I don't know about you this afternoon, but I think it would be a pretty good world. It would be a great world. So the definition of greatness Jesus offers initially seems a bit crazy because it is so completely and utterly countercultural. It's not how we think in the world. He calls us to imagine that true greatness lies in service. That true greatness lies in taking care of those who are the most vulnerable. That true greatness lies in those with little power or little influence that our culture is most likely to ignore. That's where true greatness lies. And as we imagine what Christchurch Melton, what this congregation, this parish will look like as we emerge from this COVID-19 lockdown, this, without a doubt, offers us a vision of our congregational life. Both the 930 congregation, the Dinka congregation, it offers us an image and a vision for what our congregational life might look like. But it also applies to us more personally as well. So how are we doing with that measurement of our success? How are we doing with our greatness? Not by what we take in, but by what we give away. Not by the influence we yield or the power we yield, but by the service we offer. Not by the accumulation of more stuff, but by sharing what we have already. And not by being first, but by being eager to work hard in order to see others move ahead. So make no mistake, this stuff is very hard to do. This is not easy. It's hard because it is absolutely and totally different to what our culture tells us, whether that be in the first century culture that Jesus is speaking to, or in the 21st century culture, which Jesus is still speaking to. And so it was hard for the disciples, and it's also very hard for us as well. They didn't understand what Jesus meant, and so felt so trapped by putting themselves ahead. They fell into that trap of putting themselves ahead of everyone else. We will often do the same. We will look at ourselves rather than others. We are less trusting of God for our security and more trusting in our wealth and in our stuff and the things that we can buy. We tend to shut others out rather than invite them in. We seek our welfare rather than the welfare of those around us. So here's the big idea this afternoon. The road the disciples are traveling with Jesus, the road that they're walking on, the road that they're journeying on with Jesus, when they fall into this petty argument about who's the greatest, was actually the road to Jerusalem. They were traveling to Jerusalem. Even while his disciples misunderstood or they had a misunderstanding, or even while they don't believe or they plain ignore what Jesus is actually saying, Jesus is walking on the road to Jerusalem and walking to the cross at Jerusalem willingly, in order to sacrifice everything for them and for us. There are three short prayers that are pretty much sum up the Christian life. Three short prayers that will be incredibly helpful to pray when we consider Jesus' teaching this afternoon. The first is in response to this countercultural command that the first must be last and the last the first must be last, and that true greatness lies in service. The prayer we can pray is as short and as simple as, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to see that true greatness lies in service. The second comes when we fall short of our ideals, when we fall short of that first prayer. When we give into insecurity, when we give into fear, and we look first to ourselves because of that insecurity and fear, we can pray, Lord, have mercy. And the third is when we realize that even as we fall short, and yet Jesus still died for us, Jesus still lives for us, Jesus still loves us more than anything, we can pray, thanks be to God. So Jesus does not give up on his disciples in this text. He didn't give up on his disciples then, and he doesn't give up on his disciples now. So over 2,000 years later, Jesus still offers us a different vision of greatness, a vision of greatness that can lead us to imagine and work towards a whole different world, a whole different community, how we to do church, how we give up our finances, how we do everything. So hear Jesus' words once again, and let's remember that we are still directed to Jesus' disciples, both those gathered around him in Capernaum, we're still directed as Jesus' disciples, both those gathered around him at Capernaum and those in this congregation that are gathered around him this week, albeit online, but those who are gathered around Jesus this week from this congregation. So let's listen to Jesus' words once again, as St. Mark writes. And so Jesus sat down, called his disciples, and said, whoever wants to be first must be last and be the servant of all. And in response, our prayers might be, Lord, help us, Lord, have mercy, and Lord, thanks be to God.